Yeah, isn't that better? Right. Fuck. This is the Angry Podcast. This is an introduction. Most of this will be from an audio that I made by the lake. I'm still angry, despite having vented, exercised some of that anger through the podcast. I'm just doing this intro now in the hammock with a Gabanza cap between my legs. The wind is blowing, which is pissing me off, just because it might pick up on the recording on the microphone. Does this myth, or this belief, or this perception of artists as being compulsively driven to create, as that being a romantic prerequisite of the artistic sensibility, that we just have to do it, we have no choice, that's the mark of a true artist? Well, not to put myself in that role, or to don that mantle fucking wind of this supposedly true artist, as opposed to the false artist or the hack, but I can say that there's no picnic. It's not. There's nothing glamorous or glorious about it. It just feels like a sickness. And every time I give into it, every time I give into the impulse to create and produce some new product or artifact, it's a kind of failure. It feels like a failure because it's one more failure of being, of just being, of just being in the anxiety and the feeling of powerlessness or ineffectiveness or the stuckness of being unable to communicate or express what's going on, or to resolve it, even. Giving into the impulse to somehow make it better, to make it seem meaningful, to give it coherence by turning those feelings into some sort of expression, which then becomes some sort of creative product, the production. That is not success. That is just compulsion. So anyway, I thought that was going to be interesting, worth saying when I started to say it, or decided to say it. But once again, I've defeated my own purpose. And so this is a podcast of defeat, and I know that defeat is not a popular subject. It doesn't sell, it doesn't appeal, it doesn't inspire. Well, maybe it can inspire a certain way. To accept defeat is to be free from the fear of defeat, to go into battle knowing that one is going to be defeated can actually free one up much more than the blind and zealous belief in one's victory and the possibility of victory. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm just talking now. Just talking so I don't have to be. Oh, what else do I want to say? The music in this podcast, if it does become a podcast, is going to be by Clinic. Clinic is a band that I discovered through Free Music Archive. I then found the studio recorded songs, and they were really good, but they weren't Free Music Archive. I made a kind of rule for myself that I'd only use music from Free Music Archive or SoundCloud, the stuff that's out there in the public domain. I'm breaking this rule now because I can. Rules are made to be broken. I did email Clinic to ask if I could use their music, but they didn't reply, so I figured I'd use the fucking music anyway. If they replied to say I couldn't use it, then I'd have been just as pissed off, but I would probably have not used it. But since they didn't even have the decency to respond, I'll take that as a tacit yes. So, the music will be from Clinic. As a note, general note, I always put in the show notes the names of the songs used and the artists who recorded the songs, with a link to those songs at Tree Music Archive or at SoundCloud. Anyway, I think that's the introduction. I also wanted to beef this up a little bit, so it did clock in around 42 minutes, as the original recording was 42 minutes and 44 seconds, but I then edited some of the early stuff out because it was either too personal, private, or else it was just too damn maudlin, which, when you've listened to this, you'll realise that means it was very, very maudlin indeed. The thing is, the stuff I left in isn't exactly brimming with the zest for existence. I don't really have zest for existence. I just exist, and occasionally zest comes my way and touches me, moves me, and then passes on, moves on, leaves me back in my existential quandary. Who am I? Anyway, so these in-between podcasts are just that. They're take it or leave it, kind of. I don't want to upset the rhythm or dilute the purity or the intensity or the integrity of the regular podcast stream, but it's kind of experimental to see if this is worth doing and if there's a response. So I'm using this medium, and that means if you're listening, I'm using you as a receiving board or echo chamber to find the voice that inside the howl, and find the howl inside the voice, to not be afraid to howl, because there's always this howl deep inside me, and I'm not referring to Ginsberg and any of that pederast bullshit, just the infant cry that was stifled in its crib, that will out one way or another, and that at the moment is strangling my voice. My expression is so disembodied because of this fear and this resistance to actually what might come out if I put my whole body behind this transmission. August 9, 2015, up by the lake, just sitting here, my mind, thoughts going round and round, driven by anger, frustration, fear, panic, anxiety, grief, you name it. I thought I might as well, if I'm going to be dialoguing internally, I might as well just make it, bring it outside. And what's the difference, really? Actually relieve some of the pressure. I've been triggered by some comments at YouTube video, which I just happened to find in one of my vain searches for myself online. I happened to find this. Somebody had posted the Liminalist dialogue with Peter Lavender at YouTube, and had a lot of hits, almost 2,000, and it had a few comments, and they were almost all negative, and they were fucking moronic comments as well, like about why the interviewers not realise that we're not interested in what they have to say, and somebody accusing me of mumbling, and so, anyway, that triggered me. I feel angry about it. Angry, angry, angry. Negativity. So, deal with it. Fucking deal with it. Oh, I just feel so stuck. This mental space and time's running out and just getting older, and I just feel more and more like I'm just on the way out. Fucking uselessly struggling to get something that isn't really there to be got. I guess that's the thing. You try to get love, you don't get it, and even if you do get it, it's never enough. And whereas when one is giving love and putting love out, then the love that one is giving becomes one's environment. Sick of it. Self-regard and self-concern. So fucking pointless. Looking to delete them tomorrow, second time. I mean, it's gotta bleed through. I'm doing the podcast and they seem to be going well, but gotta bleed through when I'm feeling like this. The thing is I generally don't feel this way once I connect to somebody. For the time it takes to connect to those. That's the problem, really. Yeah, that's the contrast with when I'm connecting to somebody for a short period of time. Because all the attention is on the other and connecting to them and making it as good as it could be. It's like life in a fucking nutshell, isn't it? Just like every day and every hour and every moment. I could just live it like the last, like, or the first, like, this is my opportunity to connect to life, take it, but I don't, because there's just one more after that, and it just goes on and on and on until it doesn't. It's ridiculous, this jadedness, this exhaustion, this ennui. Because it's itself, it's like the thing that is feeling ennui is the thing that's causing me ennui. And how many times I have to come back to the same place knowing this before I just let go of the ennui. It's like there's nothing new under the sun, under my My mind has got nothing new to say or think or cogitate about. Experience has just fucking run out of ways to slice it, frame it, or spin it, so it's still interesting. Which sounds like it could be a good thing. We just give up, let release its hold on awareness. Fuck me. Fuck me, fuck me, fuck me. It's fuck all. It's really fuck all I want to do now except find another distraction. Find another rock to hide under. So go online, check email, download this, download that, upload this, watch a movie, read a bit of a book, do some artwork. It's just like an endless eating shit cycle. Just tube, really. Fucking hell. And then I'm gonna fucking die. Listen to Kevin Smith's podcast. I'm Brett Eaton Ellis Easton, and although I couldn't stop listening, so I didn't. I listened for 2 hours, and there's something clearly enjoyable about it, otherwise I wouldn't listen to it. He's a fucking sad dude, really. I mean, he's funny, he's eloquent, but he's so in your face, and it's underneath this desperation. And he's better than most, I reckon, in that field, because he's not presenting a cool or sort of self-aggrandizing front. There's a certain humility there, and acknowledging, or at least describing his own fucked upness. He's not really acknowledging that he's fucked up, but he's not hiding the evidence of it so much. Like, he admitted that he likes lying on his belly, eating junk food, watching movies more than he likes sex. So that's his idea of heaven, which obviously I can relate to. And, well, to me that's my idea of hell, even though I love it in this life. Like, I'm torn in the way that he's not, he's doing better than I am. Like, it's not really my idea of hell. Well, it is and it isn't, obviously. But the idea of that going on forever is hell. Anything, I suppose, would be. But, I mean, I feel trapped in those behaviours. Behaviours that he's seems to be celebrating and just embracing as just equally futile as any other activity, therefore equally as meaningful, just feeding his fat fuck belly and absorbing corporate crap product or corporate art even. He did acknowledge death. The death fear and all those distractions are for. He didn't go any further with it. And Alice didn't take it any further. Alice is really, and I definitely wouldn't want him on the limb list. I thought I might, but fucking don't like him. He's half good, but he's, for one thing, his delivery is really obnoxious. I mean, the way he breathes into the microphone, and you think that, and how fast he speaks, You'd think that he'd be aware of that. Like, not be so close to the mic and not take such big, obvious breaths and not speak so fucking fast. But I guess a lot of people don't care. They're more concerned if somebody sounds like they're actually thinking, then that pisses them off more. Fuck those people. They're all gonna die. I'm gonna laugh and laugh. Not really. I'll be dead too. I'm sort of merging with those idiots on death of being in the same space. A fucking nightmare. See, now I'm thinking this will be a fun podcast for people, and like, oh, I could, you know, be more riffy and free associative and express my feelings about stuff on a podcast. People would probably like it, and I would get a kick out of it, especially if they liked it. And it's more of the fucking same. It's like, what can I shit out? How can I shit out this stuff that I had to eat? This shit I had to eat. Shit it out and it'll be shit digested and turned into more shit. So it'll be doubly shit. Although, I guess shit could cancel itself out. And you could eat shit and digest and shit out food. That would be interesting. Analogy. It'd be nice to think that I could do that, or that I do that. I think to some extent I do that. Sort of redeeming the culture by, it's not shitting, it's recycling and the garbage, and sort of upcycling, I guess, something like that. Finding the meaning in the clutter of culture, the signal in the noise. Theoretically, ideally, fucking hell, but no, it's been a while since I felt outright hostility for the masses or for people out there, and I think it's all part of this ongoing crisis that I'm in. Stupid C word. Everything's a crisis, which has to do with becoming public, being seen. And with the radio station, I could have a radio show where I riff live. Certainly, to begin with, when nobody's listening, or late at night, or whatever, I don't know. I mean, Christ, I could think of worse things to do that would give me an outlet. And don't want to self-sabotage, but at the same time, can't be too concerned about going to get something out of it, except for release, catharsis. People don't express their fucking misery, that's the thing. They don't express their deep frustration, their rage, their grief, all this shit. I don't express it, more to the point. People express it in their mealy-mouthed ways. But in terms of really going there, that's what good stand-up comedians do. It's what good anything does, really. But to do it sort of directly in a stream of consciousness presentation as oneself is pretty rare, and it seems to be that close to the field that I'm in, speaking, public speaking. So, yeah, anyway, I mean, to figuring out how to do it solo again, because I have in the past, and it doesn't work the way I did it in the past, maybe because the ALS is dead, but for it to be really cathartic and connecting again, like how to connect to some part of myself through speaking, to get on a roll and really be able to roll with it and express the stuff that's in me so it comes out and it's clear and cleared and entertaining for others and meaningful, cathartic maybe for others, or inspiring or both. Oh, let's just clear away the clutter, my bullshit and my pretense to be providing some sort of service, to be trying to get something, trying to get love, money, fame, success, recognition, respect, acknowledgement, validation, and so on. All that shit. It's weighing me down. It's clipping my wings. It's cramping my style. Really, the fucking anger isn't in it. That's the thing. I'm afraid to express my anger, but it's there underneath anyway. It would be better and healthier and more real if I were to actually allow that anger in there. Because some public personalities do make a shtick out of anger, and they get popular because of it. They're in again with popularity, but I mean, they reach people. People respond, because fucking morons, most of them anyway, so it doesn't mean a fucking thing in the end. Can I connect to my own soul? Can I allow for a connection to happen there, the psyche, so that I can embody whatever's moving in that psyche, actually bring it into physical expression? That's all that fucking counts. And if that's rage, then rage. Let it be rage. So do this, not exactly this, but find a kind of groove speak and express myself with an audience, even not live, even like sitting down to do a podcast and find the groove, but certainly if I could do it live, then what? I would have fun, I would enjoy that. So therefore others would too, a few at least. And I think it would clear stuff out for me. This whole persona is dragging. It's really dragging me. It's like this weight. I'm sick of it. Fucking sick of being somebody. The self-regard and self-reflection, the self-concern, the self-judgment. It's just endlessly tiresome. It just prevents the expression, the joy of an expression, expressing what is there to be expressed, without pushing it, without embellishing it, without adding the little spin that says, this is me, it's my expression, mine, look at me, don't look at expression, look at me, I'm the one who expressed it. I'm the one that counts. But there is no I without expression. That's it. The I is the expression. The me that I experience, I only experience through expressing it. Otherwise it's just a fucking black hole, gazing into a black hole. Until I start to see images, like conjuring up images from the past. Unconscious desires and fears. Chimera. So what do I want then, besides a blowjob and endless movies and junk food? What I want is that frisson, that spark of connection, of expression, of feeling like I'm communicating. It doesn't actually require the echo, that's certainly part of it. It does happen and it does require in a way, but the experience of actually connecting is in the connection, it's in the expression, it's not in the echo. The echo comes, it's guaranteed to come. If the echo doesn't come, then I deluded myself about that actually being a real expression. But it does come. I mean, not that I don't delude myself, because I do, but I mean, less and less, I suppose. Hence, more and more miserable, disillusioned. Stripped of my delusions, the raw, stark reality of an expression that that is all there is to me, like, because otherwise it's just the stagnating reflection of a me or an I without an expression. An eye that can only express its own ennui, and not really that either. Okay, can only dwell upon and wallow in its ennui, take refuge in it like a big stone, the biggest stone to hide beneath. The ennui of I, the ego ennui. Winter here keeps all the rushes. Winter here and the snows. You're wanting and waiting forever. Wanting to feel home. So what on earth in all the world has happened to you? You two fishermen going by in the lake. I'm thinking about getting in the lake. I may do that. Don't really want to, but it's warm enough. So I've got a towel. Why the fuck wouldn't I? No reason at all except inertia, laziness. There's this feeling of jaded indifference to everything. In which case I may as well get in the lake. It's not like it's just inertia. It feels like a position to take. Why should I move? Why should I do anything? Well, I'm doing something, even by not doing, and actually the insistence on not doing anything is probably the most insidious doing of them all. So, but then of course getting in the lake, because there's some sort of sense of duty, that would be a good thing to do, that would be holy and spiritual and healthy and wholesome. That's bullshit too. So, but I have a feeling that actually I quite like being in the lake once I was in there. I have a feeling I probably would. And I think I'll feel better afterwards too. I think I need a cleansing. That's one thing I haven't really been doing. Besides a couple of hours of yoga a week, I really haven't been taking care of physical maintenance, sort of clearing out these old energies, and because I can't be fucked. Like, I just don't have the motivation. And getting to yoga twice a week takes plenty. So, yeah, I think water, fresh natural water, is a good way to clear out old stuff, and that's really what is going on here. I mean, this is the thing. It was like a block drain. Got to put enough pressure that the water can push all the shit out. The first thing that comes out is a whole lot of shit. So, but you do need to clear out the shit, because otherwise one's perception is completely coloured by that shit. It really feels real, like this is where I'm at now, is in this shitty place. Well, no, not really. It's just stuff in the past that hasn't been cleared out that's pulling me back into a feeling that is way in the past, and that then colours my perception of the present. So really, the poisons go way back, way, way, way back. But it's also like everyday, recent pollution of my own thoughts and feelings that I've been indulging in, and then just didn't clear them out, didn't let them out. And then that well, it's really like it's not having enough energy then to finish a fucking sentence. Okay, maybe this will be a podcast. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I could do something radical. It should be a podcast like this, just if I can put it out there and let the chips fall where they may. Not that they're really going to fall. I don't know if it's going to make any goddamn difference, actually, in the end. I suppose I've got this plan or this agenda. I want the podcast to lead somewhere, but they're the best laid plans of maniacs. It's just futile to attempt to proceed that way anyway. It doesn't really prevent me from spiraling down into these fractal misery matrices. Anyway, so in fact, it probably precipitates it, because if I start actually building this thing that I think is going to lift me up and raise me above my own shit, then I'm actually just creating a summit from which to plunge later on, so I'll go even deeper into this shit next time, which maybe is part of the process. I don't know. There's anxiety and stage fright. It's a big part of it. Coming out, being seen, calling out, crying out, I'm here, and the pain of being ignored, the agony and the anguish when there isn't a response. I might die in this crib, so to speak, but also the risk that the wrong person will hear and come and make things even worse. The hostile presence, the hostile gaze. So that whole thing, that complex, so charged, I can't escape it. So I shouldn't try. So being nakedly honest, being seen in, while I'm actually in the shit, while I'm in the anguish, is perhaps a way to reduce the fear or the pressure of pulling against that, of trying to control and maintain the image, the presentation, so that I'll get what I want, which is one big endless psychic blowjob, really. No different from Kevin Smith there, except I think sex is better than junk food and movies, but essentially, really, yeah, I just want to subsist in this infantile state where I'm just being pleasured and can be completely passive within it. Don't even have to change my own nappies. And yet, here I am, my putting myself out there as a community something, community presence, community spokesperson. An example, a shining example of, possibility of being seen, I suppose. That's about it, really. It's a pretty feeble example. Really. You too could be seen in all of your naked vulnerability. Maybe it's not so feeble, I don't know. It seems feeble. But maybe that's the point. Being seen to be feeble. Well, it's 42 minutes and 42 seconds after I said that, so I'm gonna end. Theme to Hello the Fuck Out There by French Radio Constellation, used by permission. And thanks also to the band Clinic for not giving me their permission. So long the fuck out there.